Good evening. Welcome to Council Connection for July. I'm your host, Steve Dresser. We've got lots to cover in this month's show. Tim Vernon joins us to talk about his career as a customer service rep at NSTAR. Three students will talk about the impact of technology on their lives. And we'll start our show with Diana Leonard, who is once again in our studio. Good to have you with us again, Diana.
I am so glad to be here, Steve. I love coming in to record Council Connection, and I'm glad that you have given me all these opportunities to be on the show.
Well, you obviously do a good job because we keep having you back.
Thank you. I try.
So today, we're not really here to talk about BSCB very much. Here to talk about something else completely, and that is IRA.
Yes. So IRA and the MBTA are collaborating. This is a pilot program called Access AI that started last month. Well, I guess technically by the time this comes out, 2 months ago, the beginning of May. And basically, the entire MBTA system, you know, trains, subways, buses, and ferries, is an IRA access location. And for those of you who are unaware what an IRA access location is, it basically means that you can use IRA for free on the MBTA.
Well, maybe we ought to back up a step here just a little bit and talk about what is this thing called IRA, because some people know and some people may not.
So. That's a very good point. So IRA is a visual interpreter service that connects people who are blind or low vision with a sighted person called an agent. And these agents are employed by IRA, and they go through rigorous training in terms of, like, they know O&M terms and phrasing and how to kind of properly orient someone if they are traveling out outside, like in the city or whatever. And it is an app that you can have on your smartphone. It is a free app, and you can download it and sign up for a free trial. And it uses your phone's camera and your phone's GPS location to show the agent not only what your camera sees, but where you are on a map.
Now, there are a couple of different levels of use in IRA.
Yes.
You have the app on the phone, but then you also have, or at least some people have, glasses that they can wear that take the place of the phone's camera.
Yes.
Right?
So the glasses, the kit that they're using now is called the Horizon Kit, and it is a pair of smart glasses that is IRA branded, and the glasses come in various tint levels. Typically, people get the darkest tint, but you can get them medium tint or clear.
Okay.
And the glasses have a little camera on the one of the lenses, like above one of the lenses. And the glasses are also tethered via a cable to a phone that is included with the kit.
Okay. So when you get the glasses, you don't use your phone. You use the one that they supply.
Exactly.
Okay.
The glasses, unfortunately, are not compatible with your standard iPhone or Android device.
Right.
I believe they, I'm not quite sure what the model of phone that they give out, but typically it is powered by AT&T, as IRA is powered by AT&T.
Okay.
And they do have phones that they will give out with Horizon that are on the Verizon carrier service.
Okay.
For Verizon Wireless.
Mm-hmm. So now we get to the kind of combining forces of this IRA business with the MBTA. And that kind of brings it up to a whole new level.
Yes. And so what some people may not understand is that if you are in, say, North Station, for example, and you need to call an IRA agent, you need to find the restroom, or you need to find how to get outside, or you're looking for anything.
Yeah, maybe even the track where you're going to pick up your next train.
Exactly. You can call IRA and apply the MBTA offer within your app. It usually will pop up with a push notification on your phone telling you, tap here to make a call. This is a free access location.
Yes, because the phone, it uses the phone's GPS.
It uses your current location, yes.
Yeah, to know where you are.
Yes, so the agent will know that you're calling from the T station, and they will ask what you would like to do. So you can ask them to read the departure arrival board for the trains. Or when I was in North Station recently, I had asked them to help me find Jack's Abbey, which is a bar that one of my cousins works at. That's
okay.
Like right on the inside
sure.
of North Station. And they were able to do that.
So this program, is this a trial now, or is this something that's pretty much permanent?
It is a six-month trial. It runs from May 1st of this year to October 31st.
Okay.
And after that, I believe the plan is to see how it goes.
Yeah.
I do have some information, but I'm not quite sure if I'm able to divulge that as I work for Access AI.
Okay.
But the general consensus is that we are looking for user feedback from people who have used Aira within the MBTA system, whether they're using it to read schedules or read a map or find a specific location within a station or, you know, find a pickup drop-off for the bus, anything.
Yeah.
Access AI does hold focus groups every month at the Department of Transportation building in Boston.
Okay.
Which is at, I believe, One Park Plaza, 10 Park Plaza.
Okay.
And if you are unaware of how to use Aira or how to download it, the Mass Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired has been holding Aira training sessions once a month as well.
Okay.
And all of the information for this is on our website, which is accessai.today. There you can find out information about the program. There is pages to sign up for the focus groups or the training sessions. We have a blog. We recently marched at Boston Pride Festival with Boston City Councilor at Large Michelle Wu to promote love and equal access for everybody, whether they're LGBT or disabled. Everybody deserves to have the same access to everything.
Well, Aira's been doing a lot of this kind of stuff with free zones in airports and free, I guess, one of the drugstores. Was it Walgreens? Yeah, I was going to say.
Yes, Walgreens, Wegmans, Bank of America. And every time I turn around, they're adding a new airport to the network of access locations.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll find out that even at the ACB convention this year in Rochester, that airport's going to be.
And Boston Logan is already an access location.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
since the MBTA is an access location as well, if you're traveling via the Silver Line or public transit to the airport, you can just have an agent with you the entire way if you need it for
right,
free.
Right. So what is your function in this whole business? Because you're not, I don't think you're working as an agent.
No, I'm not. I'm not qualified to be an agent because of my low vision.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So I'm working for Access AI, which means that I'm not working directly for the MBTA or Aira, as the both of them are collaborating in this effort. I am mainly handling the social media aspect.
Okay.
We have a Twitter account, which is Access AI Today.
Okay.
The Twitter handle can also be found on our website, I believe, somewhere down at the bottom of the page.
Ah, okay.
And we push out new content every day regarding any events that's happening in and around the city or trying to generate conversation with guests and explorers in Boston, like how they're going to explore with Aira on the T, and general things like that.
Now, if somebody wants to get more information and they're not comfortable for whatever reason with going to the website, can mm-hmm. they contact you?
Yes. So Access AI actually has an email address for inquiries.
Okay.
And that is info@accessai.today.
Okay.
And any inquiries will be sent to that email address and they will be looked at and addressed.
Well, thank you, Diana, for stopping by here. And I know you're getting ready to go to Rochester, as am I.
I am. I'm very much looking forward to it. And I'm actually looking forward to playing with Aira a little bit more as the convention will be an access location.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in Rochester.
Thank you, Steve. I'm glad to be here.
Here's a demonstration of what happens when you place a call to an Aira agent. It was recorded this year at our spring conference.
Thank you for calling.
Joanne, do you have video?
I can hear you and I can have good video.
Great. So why don't you just tell us what you see?
So you're standing at one end of a large rectangular room, or a little bit longer than a square. I see there's very high ceilings, vaulted ceilings. There's a clock on the wall on the other side of the room. Up above what looks like a door, and then along that wall in the back there are a bunch of pictures hanging there. They look like actual photographs that are up on the wall. There are two to three rows of round tables that go one, two, three, at least three deep, They're all round. They have chairs around them. So there are three rows that go back. I have round white tables at them. Looks like there's about, 40 people in the room. There's a door that goes out on the far left corner of the room. There are another door on the right wall. And I can describe some of the people at the tables if you want.
Joanne, are you able to see, are there any Patriots or Red Sox fans in this audience right here?
Let me see. I'm going to guess, based on your GPS location, that there are a lot of Red Sox or Patriots fans in that room.
Hi, this is Josh Pearson from Amherst, Massachusetts. I wonder if you could describe one of the photos. Let me know what time the clock says. And also let me know, I guess, the most innovative thing that you've had to describe or do for somebody.
One second. I took a picture of the back wall through the app. They are pictures of people, it looks like. Some are people outside in the snow with jackets, it looks like. There's a sign on that back door that says no entry. And the time on the clock says, which is not correct, it says 10 minutes of, oh no, it says 10, almost 10 o'clock, it is correct. So 9:58 or so.
Great. And the most innovative task you've ever been asked to help an IRA Explorer achieve.
Wow, innovative. So I guess every day we have the ability to remote into people's computers through a program called TeamViewer. And so every day I learn something new about a program that I've never used. So it might be a Braille program, like making a regular text document into a Braille document. I've helped an Explorer do that before. They know the process, but they can't see to click and on the different boxes. So they just sort of walk me through it and I click on the boxes and help them create those things. Any program that requires them to use a mouse, to select an area, we help with that. Innovative. I'm trying to think of innovative because I love the everyday tasks. I love helping people with just being more independent and not having to wait on somebody to read the mail or wait on somebody to read the directions on the back of the microwavable meal or just to help a parent read a book to a child at bedtime or help them assist with homework, things like that. I love those tasks.
You're listening to Council Connection. The show airs on the first Thursday of every month on the Talking Information Center Network at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern and on the second Tuesday of the month on ACB Radio Mainstream at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can also hear us on the BSCB Fillmore box at 773-572-6312 or by visiting the Council Connection archives at www.acbofma.org. We hear a lot about the high unemployment among blind people. 70% is the figure we usually get. But Tim Vernon joins us tonight to tell us another side of the story. Tim, it's great to have you here on Council Connection. I seem to remember that you had been on the show a long, long time ago.
Yes, many years ago, Steve. It's a pleasure to be back with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and our listeners this evening.
And, of course, the first time we're going to be heard in several places, as you may or may not know, will be on Talking Information Center on the 4th of July, which is Independence Day. And to me, that kind of segues into talking about your employment with Eversource. How long have you been working there?
I've been with Eversource for 11 years. I started in May of 2008 mm-hmm. as a member of their customer contact center. There are approximately 100 call center representatives in the Eversource call center in Westwood, Massachusetts. We have 3 call centers, one in Massachusetts, one in New Hampshire, and one in Connecticut, supporting our customer base in those 3 respective states. And when I started with Eversource, they needed to do a large amount of JavaScript writing in order to make the database accessible. So I began simply by handling moving calls, which are calls from customers who are either seeking new service with Eversource or from people who are moving out of their current location and wishing to cancel their service.
Now, with that kind of a call, you didn't have to use the database very much. I mean, is that the idea, why you could handle them?
Exactly. It was only a few screens of the database, so they were easier to script. But those types of calls can become rather monotonous after a while.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're asking the same questions
all day long of the
person moving in or moving out. So approximately a year and a half after I started with Eversource, I decided it was time to see if we could expand the horizons a little bit and asked my manager if we could begin the process of having other screens scripted.
Mm-hmm.
So they contracted with a gentleman who came in and scripted the screens for billing calls, which are much more intense. They're in calls involving customers with questions on their bill, why
right.
is their bill high, reviewing their usage, determining if there's any type of issue with the meter or any type of reason why a bill may have increased this month unexpectedly to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So those calls were more interesting, more involved, allowed you to really get into the nuts and bolts of it a little bit more, and also allowed me to learn more about the industry and what are some of the highest users of electricity or gas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. And then approximately a year or so after that, I had been listening to my coworkers around me and hearing them handle emergency calls such as power outages or gas odors,
mm-hmm.
and decided that that would be interesting, and certainly I wanted to be on an equal playing field with my sighted coworkers, so went back to management and asked if we could script the screens for the emergencies, which they gladly did for me. So that allowed me to handle all of the same call types as everyone else in the call center, which was tremendous and really made me feel fully integrated and fully part of the team.
One of the things I'm hearing from you through all of this is that you didn't just let things coast along. You kept kind of nudging management and getting them to bring the development of the scripts into new areas. And it sounds like that they were pretty receptive to that, which is not always the case. Those of us who have been in this kind of a job know that sometimes you run up against some very, very hard limits when management says, we're not going to pay for scripting. In some cases, people don't even get the computer equipment that they need. They're given old, outmoded computers, and then, of course, they can't work with anything because the screen readers don't run and the scripts don't work and all that kind of stuff. But it sounds like you didn't really have much of that kind of stuff to contend with, or did you?
No, I really didn't. Eversource has been very willing to acknowledge and welcome my suggestions and my desires to have access to the same information as everyone else, and they have never been concerned about cost or about how they can make it accessible. When I ask a question or make a suggestion, they're more than willing to at least contact the Commission for the Blind or their consultant that they've used for scripting to see if it's a possibility. And certainly there are a few things that may not be possible. For example, sometimes representatives are asked to take a look at a customer's mailed-in check payment,
right,
because all of the checks are scanned in and they're images.
Yes.
And those images just cannot be made accessible for me.
That's right. They're kind of like handwriting.
Exactly, right. But by and large, the company has been more than willing to make any necessary accommodations to give me the opportunities that I've desired.
And it seems to have happened even through changes of leadership. I mean, Eversource was a much smaller company when you first got hired than it is today.
Exactly. exactly, which was one of the reasons that I especially requested at the time I did for the emergency information, because at that time we were just talking and hearing some rumors about merging, and I wasn't sure how that was going to affect employment, and therefore I wanted to make sure that I was marketable and that I was doing the same job as everyone else, so that if someone new did come in management, it wasn't going to affect me as an employee in the long term.
And that's so important, because and I found very similar kinds of things when I was working many centuries ago. Which, of course, I've not been doing for a while. But when I was, that was always a concern of mine, is to make sure that I stayed viable in the organization. And, you know, one way, of course, is to make sure that you have the technology you need. The other way is to make sure that you are doing the best work that you can do, or at least that's the way it worked for me.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important. I mean, sometimes we may do things a little bit differently than someone who's sighted, and some things may take us slightly longer than it might take someone else who's sighted, who can use a mouse or see something on the screen that we need to arrow down to listen to. But if we're able to overcome those obstacles and give that extra 10 or 20 or 30%, then we're able to end up, at least I feel, on the positive side of the situation.
I agree. And in my case, one of the ways that I accomplished that, I knew there were certain things that I just simply could not do. For instance, I did not have ready access. I was a computer programmer, and I didn't have ready access to the manuals, which is to say I couldn't just pick them up off the shelf.
Sure.
And read them as other people could. So what I did is I made it a point to be as good as I could be at solving problems where I didn't have the manual and had to just go in on my native wit and ability to troubleshoot and diagnose. And I often told customers, obviously I don't have the manual for what you're trying to do here, but if you accurately report what you see on the screen and you follow my instructions, I can get you out of this problem. And I was always able to do it.
And that's wonderful.
And I'm sure that you found similar kinds of things in your job as well.
Exactly. And, you know, as we say, there's certainly ways to work around certain situations and find ways to solve them, even if we don't have all of the necessary information. Sure. So I continued as a customer service representative until 2017. And at that point, there was a posting for a senior customer service representative. Mm-hmm. And this particular job involves training of new hires, assisting any representative in the call center with resolving a situation that that person may not have encountered previously, and handling escalated calls which the original representative can't resolve with when a customer wants to speak with a higher-level person before going to a supervisor, the call gets escalated to a senior customer service representative. And so I thought the job sounded intriguing. I knew there were a few new screens that we would need in the database that the senior representatives have that regular representatives do not have. But I also knew that before I could even talk to Eversource about the screens, that I needed to pass a very lengthy and challenging exam. And the study guide for the exam was in paper form. It was in a three-ring binder, and anyone taking the exam was given this three-ring binder about a week before the test, and you had to read the binder and then go in and take the test. And so I put my name in for the job, and they thought and wanted me to have the opportunity to take the test, but really weren't sure how we were going to get the study guide available, since it had been something that was constructed over many years. As things changed, they just added things to the three-ring binder for anybody taking the test and, you know, took things out of the binder that were no longer applicable, and that was the new study guide. So I collaborated with management, with human resources, with staffing, and we determined that it was time for the study guide to be moved into the 21st century and be put into Microsoft Word and become accessible so that then it was much easier to update as well. So I allowed them time to get the necessary documentation into Microsoft Word, and I had even said to them that because there were a couple other people that were taking the test, the job is given out based on your test scores, but also based on your seniority because we're in a union. So I knew that the other people had higher seniority, so if they passed the test, they would get the job anyway, even if, you know, I passed it later on. So it really didn't matter to me whether I took the test immediately, because if they passed, they were going to get it before me.
And so, you'd still have to wait.
Exactly, yeah, right. Yeah. So I said to Eversource, I said, you know, I'm willing to let the other people take the test while you get the documentation and do an accessible format for me. But Eversource said that they wanted everyone to take it at the same time and that they would go and leave the job unfilled until such time as they could get everything ready. So it took a couple of months, but they did get the study guide available for me in Microsoft Word. I was able to study it. Took the exam also. It was also written in Microsoft Word. I put my answers to the questions in the computer. They scored the test. I then had to give an oral presentation, which I did with the assistance of some Braille notes and with my note-taking device known as the Braille Sense. And was able to pass the test and was hired as a senior customer service representative in 2018, which is the job that I'm in today.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's been going very well. It's a wonderful change. It feels very rewarding to be able to provide guidance to a representative, help them understand the concept, which previously may have felt a little bit foreign to them, if you will. And it is wonderful to go home at the end of the day and realize that you've really helped someone and made someone else's day a little bit easier.
Absolutely. How much a part of your job and the things that you do at work relies on the use of Braille?
I use Braille pretty regularly at work, particularly when handling gas emergency calls. There is a script that we need to read to each caller regarding evacuating the home when they're reporting a gas odor, and we're required to read this word for word by the state. So I have that information in Braille. I also have some other documents that we use regularly as far as how to guide a representative and how to respond to some common questions that representatives pose to us as senior representatives. I have that in Braille. So I keep a binder right on my desk with all of the information, and I usually don't bring the Braille writer into work just because it's so heavy, but if I know that I need to put something into Braille, I'll either save it and use and read it on the Braille display that's on the Braille Sense, or we'll bring the information home and put it in Braille at home and then just bring the paperwork back in and add it into the binder. So certainly I think that Braille is very important and helpful to allowing me to be successful each day.
Which, of course, is kind of the point of the speech that you gave at the annual NBP meeting, which we're going to be hearing in just a minute or so.
Yes, exactly. It's been wonderful to be associated with National Braille Press ever since I was a very young child and still utilize their materials and technology guidebooks through this day.
Well, Tim, it certainly sounds like you've had a stellar career here at Eversource, and it sounds like it's not going to end anytime soon unless you decide to retire, which I kind of don't think you will, at least not this week anyway.
No, not this week, and certainly it's wonderful to have made a career at Eversource, and certainly I hope that career path can continue for many years to come.
It's kind of nice to know that there are folks out there that can, in fact, get a job, hold on to the job, and get the kind of cooperation they need to continue in their work.
I'm very pleased that I was able to share a few thoughts with you and with the listeners tonight, and hope that we can continue to collaborate and work together on other projects in the future.
Let's listen now as Tim Vernon talks to the National Braille Press at their annual meeting on June 11th of this year.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm honored to speak tonight regarding the importance of Braille in my life. I will describe my journey as a Braille reader and explain the correlation between a knowledge of Braille and career advancement. I have been blind since birth and received my introduction to Braille as a young child thanks to the National Braille Press Children's Braille Book Club. My parents, who are with us tonight, sought to let me experience the joy of holding a book and feeling the Braille letters, just as my sighted brother held a book and saw the printed letters. My parents ordered each month's book, so I had a plethora of options from which to choose during nightly family reading sessions. Many of the titles which were purchased from NBP remain at my house today in hopes that I can share the joy of reading with children in the future. Although it is tough to choose a favorite book produced by the club, I often read Ira Sleeps Over, The Polar Express, and Corduroy. I was an avid Braille reader throughout my years in school. I was mainstreamed in the Mansfield, Massachusetts public school system and received a bachelor's degree in communications media from Fitchburg State University. Without Braille, I would not have learned proper spelling, sentence structure, or grasped subjects such as geometry or Spanish. As you might know, Braille is much bulkier to produce than print. When I was moving into my freshman college dorm, I heard many people chuckling as my suite mates carried in their microwaves and Nintendo games, and I carried in boxes of Braille algebra books. Braille is a crucial tool in my work as a senior customer service representative at Eversource Energy, where I have worked for 11 years. Eversource is deeply committed to a culture of inclusion and is more than willing to ensure I have access to the same documents as sighted colleagues. For example, I am required to read a script when handling a phone call regarding a gas odor emergency. This script is in Braille, so I can refer to it during the conversation with the customer. Eversource has a recognition board in our customer contact center to honor representatives who go above and beyond for their customer. My supervisor had the printed information converted into Braille and added to the bulletin board to ensure I could independently read about the achievements of my coworkers, many of whom are also my friends. Not only do I use Braille professionally, but it is also vital in my personal life. Frequently, I review the Braille sports schedules of the Red Sox and Patriots, so I can be familiar with game times and can discuss these games with relatives and friends. I'm a member of the Mansfield Community Choir and have the song lyrics in Braille. I have served as a lector at the Catholic Church and proclaim scripture readings to the congregation. These activities not only let me be part of the community, but also help the general public to see firsthand the abilities of a person who happens to be blind. Not only is Braille available in paper form, but has become a part of the adaptive products which I use daily. For example, I have the Braille Sense, a lightweight device similar to a laptop computer to take notes, maintain contact information, and calculate an Eversource customer's monthly bill amount. This device contains a Braille display, so information can be provided either through speech or Braille output. My computer is equipped with the JAWS program, which converts information from the computer screen into speech or onto a Braille display. JAWS, which was customized with detailed scripts for access to the Eversource company database, allows me to independently assist customers, prepare emails, and use the internet. Thanks to the production of books on adaptive technology and iPhone accessibility by National Braille Press, I am able to remain fluent in the latest advances in Windows and iOS operating systems. These guides help answer common questions and provide thorough information to make using these products much simpler. Statistics regarding Braille literacy and unemployment of people with visual impairments are staggering. There remains a 70% unemployment rate among people who are blind, and only 10% of today's blind children are learning Braille. It is my hope that we can work together to change these statistics through continued advocacy, helping parents to realize that Braille remains a vital tool, increasing training programs for people to become teachers of the visually impaired, and hiring an employee who is blind at your company are four of many ways to eradicate these alarming numbers. I am grateful to my parents, teachers, employers, and mentors that have taught me skills in Braille, adaptive technology, independence, mobility, and self-advocacy. Without each of you, I would not be gainfully employed, a homeowner, and a successful adult. I am also grateful to organizations such as National Braille Press, Carroll Center for the Blind, and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, who provide materials and adaptive equipment which make life's challenges feel less daunting. I look forward to continuing to promote the importance of tools such as Braille for years to come. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Council Connection. The show airs on the first Thursday of every month on the Talking Information Center Network at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and on the second Tuesday of the month on ACB Radio Mainstream at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can also hear us on the BSCB Fillmore box at 773-572-6312 or by visiting the Council Connection archives at www.acbofma.org. Technology plays an important part in all of our lives, and that's especially true for blind students. Here's Daisy Russell and two other BSCB students to tell us why.
So the title of this panel is Hashtag Technology. Just kidding. I'm Daisy Russell. I'm the president of the Bay State Council of the Blind Students chapter. I am joined up here by two of our members. And we're just going to go through and talk about how technology has impacted some of our lives as students, whether it's living in the dorms, accessing material in the classroom, and things like that. So I'm just going to start off real quick. So I am a student at Boston University, previously Wheelock College. They merged. Graduation day is May 18th, so we're almost done. I'm getting my bachelor's in educational studies and then going on to grad school.
Were you invited to the party?
You know, it's an open graduation, so. For technology, I use a BrailleNote Apex. I use my iPhone with VoiceOver, and I also use a laptop with JAWS, and I'm slowly teaching myself NVDA so I can have that tool as well. So I'm just going to go through a few stories about some of the apps I use on my phone, which I find really useful. So how many people have heard of or use Seeing AI? I love that app. That app has saved me in so many situations. So for example, Boston University took over Wheelock. So we got in new laundry machines in the dorm rooms. I mean, in the dorm always, whatever. So I went down there and explored the machines, and they're all basically touchscreen. I've got little ovals, like faint ovals, to tell me that there's a button there. And so I use Seeing AI, and Seeing AI is telling me all the signs that are on the washing machine, telling me about this drawer where I have to put my soap, but certain soaps have to go in certain little compartments in there. And you know, seeing I wasn't great there, but I ended up using Be My Eyes because it's free. So I got a volunteer who was able to tell me, like, this button is for your, you know, colors. This one's for this. And I was able to figure that out. I've also used Seeing AI in the classroom. A professor forgot I was blind, sitting in front of her, front row with my guide dog, with my note taker, with everything in front of me, forgot I was blind and passed out papers. And I decided not to say anything. I was going to talk to her later about, you know, weren't you supposed to email this to me ahead of time? So I pulled out my phone. And I was like, all right, Seeing AI, don't let me down. So I was able, it was a one-page document, thankfully, so I was able to hold the phone about a foot above the document and read the entire page, mostly as it was incredibly clear. So I was able to then turn and talk with the people in my group about what I just read, and I was able to participate. And then the professor came up to me and was like, oh, I forgot about that. And I was like, no worries, we worked it out. In future, though, I would appreciate an email with this document. And then one last story, because I think this is pretty cool. I got to use Ira for the first time as a guest on Capitol Hill. I always have this attitude of like, oh, I'll figure it out. I don't need help. I can try and figure it out. But then wandering and running out of time and trying to look at the print, raised print signs that were set into, you know, the U.S. official seal and not being able to read that. And I was like, ugh, I'm not looking very you know, graceful or poised right now. So I need to just call up Ira. And I did. And I found the room in 5 minutes. I walked in there. I got to hand over my paper. I got to walk out. And I was like, you know what? Can you also help me find a friend that I was with? And it was the best thing ever. So I am now a convert of Ira and will be using that in the future to help me find a job and, you know, get ready for the working world. So I'm going to pass it over now.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lena Coral. I'm a graduate student at Lesley University for a master's in mental health counseling. And so I use a Braille Note Touch and my iPhone with VoiceOver and my computer with JAWS. So I'm going to be focusing a little bit on JAWS and how that helps me, which is very ironic because it's actually the one that I like the least, I must say. But I have to admit that it is very helpful. My school uses a platform called Blackboard where people can download and upload assignments and you can see your grades. And there's like discussion boards where we have to post assignments each week and things like that. So it's not, you know, it's not something that I would want to use my phone for. So I use my computer for that. And the site is actually pretty accessible. So I'm able to, with JAWS, I can upload my papers. I can download the articles that my professors post for us to read every week. And it's actually really cool because, you know, sometimes my professors post articles that are PDF files that aren't accessible, and JAWS won't read them. So it's, you know, kind of a pain. But now Blackboard also has this feature where you can like click on this button that says like, I think it says like click here for like more accessible version or something, and you can actually convert it into a BRF, which is really cool. And then I can just download that onto my note taker and read it that way. So I really like that. But other times, like when the PDF is accessible or when it's a Word file or whatever, I can just read it right on my computer. I can write my, when I didn't have a note taker for a while because my note taker broke, and it was like, for, you know, people who have note takers, I'm sure, you know, it's like awful when you don't have it. So I had to rely on the computer and I had to like, you know, use Microsoft Word to write my papers instead of doing it on my note taker. But, you know, with JAWS, all that is easy peasy. And then you can just upload it onto Blackboard. I can, you know, obviously check my emails. So it's like, or for like scheduling appointments at school for if I need to meet with a librarian or if I need to go to the tutoring center or whatever, I can do that all on my computer. as long as the website is accessible. So it's definitely a great tool, and I'm really glad that I have it, even though it's not always my favorite, but I really do. I am very, very glad that it's there for students.
Hi, guys. My name is Jalise. I am also a student. I am at UMass Lowell. I'm a sophomore. I will be getting my bachelor's in about 1.5 years, maybe. Praying everything goes well. My degree is going to be in psychology, but my concentration is applied behavioral analysis, which ABA is the short term for it, and I'll be working with autistic kids. That's what I'm hoping to do. thank you. So, like Lena and Daisy, I use a laptop with JAWS. I'm teaching myself NVDA. I'm making that slow, somewhat painful transition. And I also use OS X as well, Mac OS X. And I have an iPhone with VoiceOver, and I also use a Braille Note Touch. With my Braille Note Touch, I am starting to kind of delegate more tasks to it, just because for a long time I had a Braille Sense and it wasn't the most efficient for a while because it was broken. But with the Touch, I'm finding that a lot of things are becoming easier to do. I think one thing for me that I have been really, that has been a real like benefit with having the Touch is Google Docs. We had a group project last semester, and everybody, like all the sighted students use Google Docs. Like it's easier, I guess, because, you know, everybody can edit the document or whatever. But I personally had a hard time on the computer. Like, I couldn't really get it to be very seamless work. But with the Braille Note Touch, which is the latest tablet from Humanware, Google Docs are actually really, really easy to work with. And I like that you can go in and edit, and you can read other people's edits and things like that. And then also, I can delegate a lot of my internet tasks. Like, I can, you know, check email a lot more smoothly on my Touch compared to some previous note takers that I've had. And I can just connect to the internet a lot more smoothly than previous models. So that's definitely a bonus. You know, even though university Wi-Fi is crappy, but, you know, you gotta take what you have. But yeah, I'm really starting to rely more on my Touch, which is both good and bad. But I'm really finding that it's really useful. It's a really, really great tool for school. It's a great tool for school. Sorry, I'm a dork. And you can, I mean, you have, like, there, you know, I don't know how many, like, of you guys are students or have been students. There's so many different places to get textbooks now, like Bookshare, Audible might have some, you know, depending on what the book is that you're reading. You know, Learning Alley, however you say it. And, you know, the different sources, and the Touch is, like, the Touch has apps for all of those. So, like, on Bookshare, I have the Bookshare forget what it's called. I have to look at my touch. But I have the app for Bookshare on my touch, and it just makes it easier when I do have Bookshare books. And even when I get like HTML books from my disability services AT person, like sometimes like technology is amazing, and like audio speech is sometimes really, really good, but nothing beats old fashioned Braille. Like, and and so I like to be able to read silently. You know, I like to be able to pan through a Braille display and, you know, be able to read a book, because I feel like I sometimes take in information better when I'm reading it in Braille. Like, I register it a whole lot better, and especially with academia, that's necessary. So I think it's just really, really helpful that the touch does that. So yeah, that's it for me.
You mentioned hard copy Braille. Have you kind of found any other types of old school technology that you still find very useful?
So I can answer that. I just actually dropped off my Perkins Brailler at the library to be repaired because I need it. The student chapter is doing, or going to try to do a fundraiser with Braille cards, and I cannot Braille on a slate and stylus cards. I've tried, it doesn't work. You can't draw with the slate and stylus very easily. So I still use a slate and stylus. I still use a Perkins Brailler. You know, it's not going away. And Lena, want to add something?
I haven't done math on the new Braille Note Touch, so I don't know how great it is with math. But like, but when I take math in school, I much prefer to do it on the Braille Writer, even though it's loud and it's bulky. But that, like, you know, especially in math where you have to line things up a certain way or like be able to visualize them, I find it a lot easier to do it on the Braille Writer than on a note taker, and much more easily to do it in Braille than on the computer, of course. So, yeah.
Hi, this is Deanne Elliott. And first, I just want to thank you for speaking, because I think it's so wonderful to see young people and hear your ideas. And I've certainly learned something today. So thank you. From an advocacy point of view, I'm wondering, are there any issues that you feel you would like an organization like the Bay State Council to be advocating for to make your studies easier?
So I think, like, one thing for me is making sure that every single, like, aspect of school websites are accessible, because sometimes for me, like, there's part of the websites that is accessible and parts that aren't. And so, you know, that's just... it's obviously frustrating. Like, for example, you know, like right now, like my program has an internship database, and the database site is not accessible. So, you know, things like that, that would definitely help students out. Sorry.
Something I want to say thank you very much to Bay State for doing is pursuing making the Common App accessible, because I was a student who took that, I filled out that application, but I needed help. I had to get someone to come and help me put my college essay into the right field and fill out all these boxes because it was not accessible. And I just, at the time, I was not a great self-advocate, so I just was like, huh, you know, sometimes the world just isn't as accessible as it should be. My attitude since becoming a member and being a part of Bay State and, you know, being able to go to all these leadership conferences and things like that has totally changed. So now I see things that are inaccessible and, you know, I point them out, I contact people, and it's, you know, so I just want to say thank you on behalf of all the students and future students who are going to be applying to colleges, who will hopefully have an easier road ahead of them.
Hi, this is Mary. And I want to just wish the three of you all the best after your graduations and, you know, the best in your occupations. I hope you love what you end up doing with your careers. You're using an amazing amount of technology, and I mean layers of technology. I'm wondering if your peers ever notice how much amazing technology you use, and what do they say? I mean, are they like pretty amazed at what you use and how you manage? Yeah.
So I, you know, when I'm in class, I use my touch. And, you know, people are always like, what's that machine you have? Like, how does it work? What do the buttons do? And then if I, like, no. That's never happened to me, but
that would be cool if it played music.
That would be cool. And then if I lift up the, you know, the keyboard and there's like the tablet under, they're like, oh my God, like, you know, it's like, it's so cool to them. And I think it's actually really great because you can like, the touch is very interactive. So then they can kind of interact with you, like with your touch. So it's really neat. So yeah, I think for me, it's probably the Braille No Touch that people comment the most on.
I get the same thing with the touch. And I think one thing that's really, really good about that is the fact that, like, if there's something going on with your touch, like, somebody who's sighted can help you. Because I actually had an issue one time when I was in class. It wasn't connecting to the Wi-Fi properly. So I actually had a student behind me who had an Android tablet. I was able to disable the KeySoft, and she was able to connect it for me. Because it works just like a regular Android tablet when it's disabled. So, but I think one thing that I get comments on all the time is Jaws' speed. That's one thing. Like, I mean, I've gotten everything from if I'm communicating with the aliens to like... And you know, and I'm bad. I'm an awful person because I'm like, yeah, totally. Like, you know, I... but yeah, I think that's one thing that Jaws, you know, that people find extremely fascinating is Jaws and how the computers work. And I'm taking, one thing I forgot to mention earlier is I'm taking Italian this semester, which is really, really interesting. I love it. But I'm taking it this semester, and I mean, Jaws, for those of you who are Jaws users or who use screen readers in general, Jaws has the ability to auto language switch. So it can, you know, it's not always perfect, but it works. And so, you know, it's really cool because it pronounces things in Italian, and it also like says the letters and the punctuation in Italian. So I have more experience with that. And my Italian professor just loves it. Like, my Italian professor just thinks it's the most amazing thing in the world. So, yeah, I that's one thing that I get comments on all the time is Jaws.
And with that, we come to the end of Council Connection for July. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please leave us a message in the BSCB Fillmore box at 773-572-6312. I'm your host, Steve Dresser, hoping that you're enjoying your summer and inviting you to join us again in August for another edition of Council Connection. Take care.